Thank the Lord for those special songs and for all the young people and the families that took time to practice those songs. It really is a blessing to me this morning. The Lord has been talking to me and giving me some scriptures. I have a burden on my heart and I desire you to pray for me today. My voice is not the best, but I'll try to scratch around and do the best I can. I thank the Lord for this congregation again, and I appreciate the faithfulness that you have shown through the years. This morning, I want to read in the book of 1 John. The second chapter of 1 John, the 12th verse. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. The Lord has dropped a thought on my heart that I want to share with you. I'd like to look at the three parts of life. If you will allow me a little bit of a little room here to explain myself, I'd be glad to try to do that and share with you something that I believe the Lord wants us to be aware of. I've got a lot of scriptures to read. I may not get to all of them, but just pray for me today. The Lord would bless his word and it would be good for our hearts. We would see in the book of Psalms 90 and 10, he said the days of our life are 70. If it goes beyond that, there's strength, labor, and sorrow. So we know our time here on earth is limited. It is limited. He said 70. And if I divide that into three parts, and this is where I need a little bit of a leeway or grace to be able to explain my thought. We have a period of beginning to 25 years and 26 to 50 and 51. 75, if we split it up in 25-year pieces, we're going to have three acts of time. We're going to have three parts, major places in our life to make the best of it. Make the best of it. And I believe God wants us to start off, I believe Matthew 7 and 24 tells us where to start here. Whosoever, 7 and 24 of Matthew, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. This is act number one. Young people, how important it is right here in this period. Build your house upon the rock. Start off while you're young. Start off and put things down right that's going to last you the length and duration of your life. Start off while you're young. I think about Jesus and his birth, and we don't know a lot about him and the different things that he did while he was young. We know that he was obedient. We know that he, when he was about 12 years old, he was with his parents, and they'd gone to Jerusalem, I believe, and Jesus was there with them, and he was, well, let me read some of the scripture here that I wrote down. He was with them and was busy in the temple. He was busy there, and he was learning, and he was talking to the people about the things of God and asking questions. He was 12 years old, and his parents didn't realize he was even gone for like 3 days. You know, there'd be an Amber Alert in just a few hours now if we would. And what an embarrassment to the parents if we didn't know where our children were for 3 days. That would be kind of a bad thing to happen. But Jesus was busy. He was there. He was doing something. There were seeds that were sown. He was the Son of God, for one thing. And yet, I look at not only him and his unique place in this earth as being the Son of God, but there was Joseph. I believe he was around 17 years old, and he falls in this category of the first act. You find him, there's something about him that was different. There was something about him that was setting the stage of his life in this 1 through 25. It's a critical time in life. It's something when you start off, it's very important to build again on the rock. It's important to start off right. We find Joseph, we find Timothy, we find others that when they were young, Samuel, that they were people, that there was something there about them that would change the course of history. And I want to tell you this morning, it's not too late for us to build our house upon a rock. It's not too late for us to do things that are right. In the book of 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter, Paul was telling Timothy, son Timothy, listen to this. 1 Timothy 4 and 12. He told, let no man despise thy youth. 1 Timothy 4 and 12. But be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity, setting down an example, setting a foundation, setting something down for Timothy that would help him in these years. These years right here can be up and down. There can be lots of problems. There's going to be things that we face, the 1 to 25, that can affect us for life. And I believe the Lord this morning wants to help us to get on the rock and be able to start off right. And when you do, you're going to have a blessed life. You're going to reap many benefits. You're going to have times that you're going to make mistakes. In these formative years, there's going to be a lot of things that come your way, and you're going to be up and down. But I want to tell you, when you have that inward determination to do what's right, it's going to help you pull through. And I want to encourage all of you today, all of you young people, keep doing what's right. The book of Proverbs 20:11, it says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work is pure, whether it be evil, a child is known. So ask God to help you to be able to be perceptive when you're young. Lord, I want you to help me to realize what I'm like. Who am I? I want you to come down and check my shortcomings. I want you to look at me, Lord. I want you to help me to see what your goal and what your will is for me in life. Listen, so many things are hinged in this first act right here, 1 to 25. So many things are going to be, it's going to be heavy on you. There's going to be a lot of decisions to make. There's going to be a lot of things that goes on. I want to encourage you, do what is right, because These next two acts depends a lot on what you're doing. I think about David and this song. This song came to my mind. It's called Hidden Valleys. Hidden valleys produce a life song. Hidden valleys turn shepherds into kings. This is where David was at. He was at a place that he was close to God. There was something there with David. And as he was on the out in the desert taking care of sheep, there was more going on than manual labor. There was more that was happening in this critical part of David's life. When he was a young man, he was learning things. There was things coming to his mind, and David and Joseph and Jesus and all these people, there was something that God was preparing them for an adventurous journey in life. This song, Hidden Valleys, Steve Green sings that, but it's a beautiful song. These hidden valleys are important in our life. It's so important that we learn the strength of the Lord in the hidden valleys. It turns shepherds into kings. The hidden valleys, the places where leaders are born, where people come out of rubbish sometimes, and they come out of circumstances that are just very adverse, and a leader is born in some of those places. Abraham Lincoln was came from a very poor family, but he became a very prominent person of the President of the United States. A lot of our people here in the United States, a lot of them came from poverty. Some of them came from the worst situations. I think about George Washington Carver. He said one time, "You give me a stamped self-addressed envelope and I'll give you all the information I have. I'll send you everything you want." You see, it is just of the... I just can't stress enough how important hidden valleys are for us in life, especially in our youth, in places I'm talking about where maybe you don't seem popular, and maybe you aren't the most attractive person, and maybe you have some difficulties in your speech, or maybe you have certain fears and timidity and all those things. Well, let me tell you something. Some of our greatest leaders overcome those things, and you can do it too. These times, it's the essential that we learn to get established and built upon the rock. If we get the rock as our foundation, I'm going to tell you, everything else will go well for us. Hidden valleys. I want to read Matthew 25, 14 through 30. The kingdom of heaven is like to a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. That's the part I want to just stop at. And you're going to have to give me a little bit of grace or something here. But I'm thinking that many times these 5 talents... how many did he give the next one?
2.
Hello. 2 and 1. I'm not saying it's always like this, but I'm just saying I've watched people that started off right and they gave God the best of their life. They gave God the very best at the very beginning, and the Lord showered blessings upon blessings and blessings upon them during their lifetime. It doesn't always have to be. I'm not saying you can't have 5 talents and be 51 years old. I'm not saying that. But I just want you to know, as you start off in life, the more you consecrate and the more you give to the Lord, there is a generous supply. He said he gave them according to their several ability. I think of that song we sang this morning about the grumblers that grumble. You think the Lord's going to give the grumblers five? I don't think he's going to give them very much at all. But look, we've got a job to do, folks. I just want to say, in the first act of life, in your first acts, give God the very best, and he will give you the very best. It will be amazing what he will do for us. Do you know there in Timothy we read that let no man despise thy youth. You know, it's difficult getting started off. I remember I wanted to be a bricklayer when I was young, and I got me a little, jacket. I don't know, it's kind of popular around. It's kind of like some of them we wear today. It's a little blue Levi jacket. I just wanted to be a bricklayer. Well, I took the test and failed. I guess I wasn't supposed to be a bricklayer. You have any experience? Well, I know. That's why I want to be one. I want some experience. There was a question one time asked a young man, where'd you get your good judgment? No, he was asking an older man. He said, from my experience. And where'd you get all of your experience? From a bad judgment. So, you know, we start off and there's going to be things in that 1 to 25. You don't have all the experience. You don't have a lot of things that you go by. So you start off small. You start off learning. Apprenticeship. You know, it takes 4 years of apprenticeship to become a journeyman. A journeyman's able then to travel around. He's able to go different places. He's able to do things. He's got experience. Well, don't try to jump ahead in your youth. Don't try to jump ahead and do things that you're not qualified to do. That, you know, Paul told him in Timothy again, he said, not a novice. Lest being lifted up in pride, you're overcome with the condemnation of the devil. But all I'm saying here is there's a learning and experience level that we need here. How can we... He said, remember your Creator in the days of thy youth, 12 and 1 of Ecclesiastes, when the years draw nigh... Hold on. The years draw nigh that you say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember your Creator. Remember Him. Honor Him. And realize that... remember Him in your youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remembering God in our youth, starting off on the right foot and doing what is right, and being willing to be taught, being willing to be teachable. That's what a servant is. They're teachable. They're able to learn. Now, too many times in this first act of life, there's so many wild seeds that are sown that it hurts us all the way here. Too many times, this critical point, we don't take those talents that God's given us and develop them and work with them. And it damages us. It does something to us. Ask yourself sometimes, what did I do with my youth? Where did it go? One lady asked me one time, well, sir, did you start your ministry when you were an old person? I said, well, no, I started when I was young. I wish to have been younger, but I give my heart to the Lord when I was 17 years old. 18 years, no, wait a minute. It was about 19 years old. I wasted some years. But I feel like there was a lot of things. The Lord told me when I first started off, you know what He told me I want you to be? And this was in this critical area here. I want you to be like a spare tire. You think, where in the world do you find that in the Bible, preacher? Well, you know what a spare tire does? It stays in the trunk till you need it. But it better be ready when it is needed. That was my first job. You be a spare tire. And you be ready to go and don't worry about being seen. You just be ready to go when it comes time. And I believe God wants all of us to be available. Sister Catherine Williams one time said that the Lord pointed her. She was in her kitchen and had all these skillets and things hung on the wall. I want you to be like those skillets. I want you to be clean. I want you to be orderly. I want you to be ready to go. I want to tell you, it's so important for us today, young people, that we are ready and willing to do whatever God wants us to do. I know one man that for years he struggled. He said, I keep going around and I can't get peace. I said, what's wrong? And he said, well, I believe the Lord wants me to be a preacher. And I finally told him after so long, I said, rest in this and take my advice. I don't believe the Lord wants you to be one. The Lord's not going to give us something anyway that what we're not, we don't want. I mean, maybe it's not something we desire, but He's going to bless His people. And you as young people, He's going to bless you with things that you want to work for Him. It doesn't matter what you do. If you wash dishes, it doesn't matter. You just do it. That's my title. I still feel like I'm just like a spare tire. I mean, I'm the tread showing a little bit, but I want to be on the road. I want to do what He wants me to do. It's a wonderful life, folks. I wonder when He said, Luke 2 and 40. Let me read this. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit scattered this morning. But He said here, Luke 2 and 40, speaking about Jesus, He said, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And I'm skipping down some of this I've already quoted. And it came to pass in the 46th verse that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding with answers. And the 51st verse said, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So we find him from 12 years old, 33 years old. There was a portion of his life, 18 years, maybe from 12 to 30, there wasn't a whole lot said about him, but reading this, it lets me know that he was growing. It said here, he was subject to them. I believe that had to be in the Bible because it might look like he was a little rebellious. He spoke to his mom. He said, well, wished you not that I be about my father's business? I mean, don't you know that who I am? But no, it said he was subject to them, because I see something in this growing up period that was very special. And Jesus was subject to them. He learned a trade. He learned how to do things with his hands. He grew in favor with God and man. And I think it's important today for us in this critical period of time that we remember. I'm learning. There's a lot that I'm learning. I'm gaining some experience. I'm gaining some lessons in life. Now, if we go to the next stage, the 26 to 50, it comes to my mind that this song that maybe you know, maybe you don't, but Larnell Harris sings this song, and it's called The Strength of the Lord. And it says, sometimes life seems like life, and it seems like words and music that can't quite become a song. A lot of times our life can be like that. We've got the words, and we've got the music, But things aren't being put together. The song is not developed. The song is not there. I want us to go back and look at the rock where we started. If we can go back to the rock and think, Lord, did I miss something? Have I not anchored myself fully on that rock? Maybe that's the reason that the words and the music are there, but the song is not being fully developed. I'm going to encourage you today. There's a lot of songs in our life that are not being sung yet. There's some of them that's not quite there yet, but they're close. I want to encourage you, because some of the sweetest times in your life are in this primary stage of life. And as you go along and you meet each one, and through all of those acts, there's a song that the Lord is wanting to bring out. There's a special music in your life. There's a special inspiration. There's a special heavenly something that God wants to develop in your life. A lot of those songs start over here. You got the words, you got the music, and the Lord makes the song. Sometimes we find that maybe we're a little bit slow in developing, and maybe it's just not all of our fault. You know, there's things that we've done, and we think, Lord, I think I've put it all down at your feet. I think I've laid there, but it's just not developing. It's just not maturing, and things aren't just sounding like I want them to sound. Oh, the Lord is doing some fine tuning. I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things that God has not finished with us yet. He's still working on me. He is still working on me. He said, back in John again, I've written unto you, children, and I've written unto you, young men. Now we're going to step to this place in life where the talents are maybe, I don't know, they could be, you could find five at this stage of life. You could. I believe the Lord could do that. But here's the important part. If you can take what the Lord gives you and develop that now in the middle of this critical part of your life, when you're going to be tempted with money, you're going to be tempted with work because your skills now and your apprenticeship is over, and now you're the journeyman, or you have the experience and you're doing things. There's going to be a lot of things competing for this two talents. There's going to be a lot of things competing for that two talents. You're going to be tempted. You've got family. You've got the potential to grow in companies. You know, Church of God people are very sought out in the world. They are people that men that and women that have... They have skills. They have talents. They have abilities. They know truthfulness. They know value of a hard work. They're able to roll up their sleeves. They're able to get things done. They don't give no for answers. I mean, they come up with a solution. And you are in high demand. Let me tell you, be careful in this second act. Be careful in act number two, because there's a lot of things that the enemy of our soul is bidding for you. He's bidding high in this part of your life. He'd love to get you overwhelmed with so many things. He would love to get us all encumbered about. And that's why Paul told Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It's a real challenge, because I've seen young people that came up with not very much in their life, and it seemed like their whole desire was put into getting more and more. So be careful what you wish for when you're in your 20s. It may own you in your 40s. what you wish for in your 20s, it may own you. And I want to clarify that when you have so many possessions and things, sometimes it can own you. You're working for that. And you get it. And that Corvette, and I hope none of you got, I'm not talking, I don't know anybody in here that has a Corvette. So please, and if you do, I'm not preaching. I know I'm not preaching to you. But I'm just telling you, gave $50,000 or whatever for that, and then pretty soon you're fine. You're having to work extra hours to own that. And pretty soon that thing owns you. You're working constantly to keep up those payments. You're working. And not just that, but there's a lot of finer things in life that possibly we could do without. This act in here is very tough. We lose a lot of people. A lot of people go after the material wealth of this world in this bracket here, in this age bracket, and they're gone. They don't come around the church. They're gone for sometimes long periods, may never even come back, and may be lost in eternity in this bracket right here. Be careful what you desire in your 20s. It may own you in your 40s. Jesus recognized all of those things. Jesus was cut down. He was cut down right here, almost in the prime of his life. 33 years old, his life was gone. Only 3 years did he have to preach the gospel. In his prime of life, he was taken out of this world. But he said, the prince of this world comes, and he hath nothing in me. I look at that example of Jesus when he was in his prime, when he could have had 10,000 angels, he could have done everything. He was still a servant's heart. It kept him, and he stayed close to God. He yielded himself and kept yielding himself over and over to the Lord, to his Heavenly Father, and it was a yielded life in the prime of his life. So many times, I know sometimes our life doesn't always go this far. Sometimes it's cut off in this area. It's hard. That's the way life is sometimes. I want you to remember, though, Jesus gave his very best for you and I. He left us an example. He showed us that the material things of this life are not the most important. The rich man. There was a certain rich man. Luke 12, again, it says here there was a certain rich man. And what did he do? Jesus said, first of all, in the 15th verse here of the 12th chapter of Luke, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And then he spoke of the ground of the rich man that brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have nowhere to bestow my fruits? This will I do, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Oh, this is a critical time. Watch it. Beware of it. I might have some of the dates off. I'm just dividing into three categories. Moses' life was like this. The first 40 years he was instructed and taught in Egypt. The second 40 years of his life, he was on the backside of the desert feeding his father-in-law's sheep and tending to menial things. The last part of the 40 years of his life, he was leading the people of God out of Israel, out of Egypt, I'm sorry. He was leading the people of God. His life was divided in three parts. So I look at his life and I think, well, our life really, we have three different acts. We have a time when we're young, a middle age, and the old age. Be careful in all of them. We have to watch very carefully what we do. We have a song. I didn't say much here, but we have a song, and I'm going to go over here to 51 to 75. And if you're older than that, well, guess what? You're included. In our songbook, we have a song that says, "Oh, my soul, press on to glory." Anyone, you, Brother Bobby, you know any of the rest of the words of that song? It said, "Oh, my soul, press on to glory." Could you read some of the words of that? Okay, just that. I didn't have a songbook to look all of that up.
Well, the first verse says, "Shall my soul ascend into the rapture when the day of life is past, while my house of clay shall slumber, shall I then with Jesus rest?"
All right. And the chorus says, "Oh my."
And the chorus says, "Oh my soul, press home to glory. Worlds of bliss invite me on. Evermore to be with Jesus when this fall on earth is done."
Thank you. Do you all remember? Let's look in 2 Samuel. I'm going to read this. We all remember, I know, about the story of David and Goliath. We all remember that. 2 Samuel 21, let's look there. 2 Samuel 21. I may come back to different parts of these acts in our life, but I'm thinking of the last one now. The last act. And I'm going back here into Samuel because we know David slew Goliath, don't we? David slew Goliath, and there came a battle against the Philistines again, and there was a guy named Ishbi-Benob in verse 16. Ishbi-Benob was the next giant that David faced. And going back a little bit, I believe right in this area, David had slew Goliath. And then Ishbi-Benob shows up. And what do? When the king has already killed one giant, and here's another one, what do? You give him the honors. Go ahead. Go ahead. You've done it before. We've never done it. Go ahead and take him. And you know what? David in his pride went down there to kill the second one. I'm going to have to say it was pride. And I want to bring this out this morning because in our youth, we've got to watch this giant of pride. And this giant almost killed David. And if it wasn't for Abishai that got down there with him, he would have taken David's life. He had a new sword, and it looked pretty impressive for David to be down there. But this Ishbi-Benob giant was going to do him in. I want to just say this to us this morning. After your accomplishments in life, be careful because you're going to have the giant of pride to deal with. And that'll take your life. You'll jump in the pit, you'll jump there and you, "Oh, I'll take it on, I'll do it. I've done it before. Don't you understand? I'm strong. I'm able to, everybody's recognized me. Songs were sing about me. Then I have his armor and all that." Be careful because the giant of pride is going to come against you so many places. It jumps the fence. It can follow us all the way here, you see. All these giants, we read about four of them. It goes on to tell their name. And These four were born of the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. And it names them. There's Saph, and there's another giant, I believe in 2 Chronicles, it gives us another name here, but some of these giants were very intimidating. 1 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. There was a giant, 20th chapter, his name was Sipai, S-I-P-P-A-I, which that name means a double-faced dish, which means what? Here's a person with this kind of personality when he's with certain people, and here's this person that they're a total different person. So hypocrisy, the giant of hypocrisy, we're going to have to watch that in all stages of our life and all the acts of life. Watch out for this giant. And his name was Sipai. And there was Lami. That name means lust. I looked it up, and some of these are very real to us. We're going to face the giant of lust. And then we find down here at the very end, there was a man of great stature in the sixth verse, and it says, whose fingers and toes were 4 and 20, 6 on each hand, 6 on each foot, and he was also a son of the giant. I don't read a name of this giant, but I'm going to tell you what you have to watch for when you tip over here into this area. You got to watch for it in all three, but when you get older, be careful of clinging on to things too long, of being covetous or greedy. It seemed like as you get older, you tend to be greedy. Well, why do I have to give this? Why share this with anybody? That's mine. I work for it. Don't you understand? I worked hard for it. It's all my life, and I've done everything. And pretty soon we become just like this giant. Imagine him climbing a tree, 6 fingers, 6 toes. He could hold on to anything. He'd scale up a tree, and he's a giant. He's something that we've got to watch as we get older. We've got to watch that. Don't know what his name was, but I know what he can do to a person that becomes greedy. I know what he can do to a person that holds on to things. And he's very apt. He's very capable. He's very able. He's qualified. Don't underestimate him. Because those 6 fingers and 6 toes, he can run, he can go places, he can do things that I'd hate to have a handshake with him. That'd be a very intimidating thing. Remember today, some of the things that in our walk with God, as we get older, you're going to have giants to face. They're going to be real, and they're going to try to do everything to take you out. So be careful in your life. I think of the song we have in our songbook, and I don't know that look, Brother Bob, my soul be on thy guard. I know a few of the words of that. But listen to the words of this song. My soul be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise, and hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. And another verse, Brother Bob, maybe read.
It says, O watch and fight and pray. The battle there give over. Renew it boldly every day.
Yes.
It says, their thing, the victory won, nor once did he sit down. Thy artist's work will not be done till thou hast got the crown.
Yes.
And the last verse says, fight on, my soul.
Soul till death shall bring thee to thy God.
He'll take thee at thy point of death.
Thank the Lord. I'm glad we have a song for every age. Every age, from the beginning to the end, there's a song that fits us, that he said here, when you're in this bracket, you're in this act of life, it doesn't necessarily begin at 51, but just bear with me. There's things as we get older we have to deal with. Fight on, my soul, till death shall bring thee to thy God. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in this bracket. It's just, I could go on and on. There's so many things that take place. There's, as you get older, there's sometimes regrets from back here. There's sometimes those things we can look back, and we tend to, as we get older, we tend to look back and we grieve over our yesterdays. We grieve, oh, that I had, oh, that I'd done this, oh, that this was different, oh, that I'd taken that right step when I was back there, oh, that I'd not made that bad business decision, and I lost my family. My former boss said one time he was going to be a millionaire. Bob Adams became a millionaire, had 94 people in Springfield, Missouri working for him, and Bob got to that place that he wanted to be. Sometimes he worked day and night. They'd find him asleep in a little water heater closet or something. He'd been working, and he worked so many hours, and he was just laying there asleep with his tools in his hands. You know what Bob did? He made the millionaire mark. He had so many things going for him, but he was doing things crooked. He wasn't an upright man. I'm sorry to say, he just lost his family. His children didn't want nothing. He lost his wife, lost his children, but he got the $1 million, you see. He got the mark, and he made that advancement. But oh, looking back now, I went to his funeral, and they sang the song, and I did it my way. I've come up with a few words for that song myself, and I'd love to see it turned around just a little bit that said, and I did it God's way. I did it God's way. If we could do things God's way, when we get to this later part in our life, you know, it could be wonderful.
Yes,
thank the Lord. I appreciate God's blessings to us. 2 Timothy 1 and 3, Paul told Timothy, he said, "Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He told him in the third verse here, "Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Learn while you're young to carry a burden. Learn while you're young to be able to feel what the yoke is about. Know how the harness feels. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me," Jesus said, "for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And the Bible in the Old Testament said, it's good that a man bear the yoke in his youth. It's because you need those calluses. You need those places where you have carried burdens, that you know how to pray, that you know how to go through grief, you know how to go through misgivings, you know how to overcome your feelings and things when people say bad things against you. You need the calluses of having that yoke upon you, and learn how reproaches feel, and learn how misgivings feel. You need that, because guess what? When you get older, those hurts and those things magnify. And if we haven't learned how to do them over here, we haven't learned how it feels to go through difficult places where people are angry, or people are, they don't understand you. You know, I had my phone ring one time, and this lady, she started off and she told me, "So I don't like your mustache. I don't think you need to be here. You don't need to be the pastor, and you don't need this and that. You need to move to Mexico, and your wife can't sing." Da, 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 da. She just went on and on and on and on and on. And it happens sometimes. It happens. There's just things that happen. I can't change the way people feel. You can't either, but we can learn to have grace in our hearts. And if we can learn here, it's better when we get here and here. It's better. He said, "Thou therefore, my son, endure hardness." He said, I didn't finish in 1 John. "I've written unto you children, I've written unto you young men, and I've written unto you fathers. Fathers in Israel, I've written to you. I want you to, you're young here, you fathers, I'm going to say children, but understand me that There's different levels, folks. God wants to mature us through all of them. He wants us to get here and sing a good song. I love Tennessee Ernie Ford and the song that he says, "When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my friends don't understand me, I want you to stand by me. Stand by me." Last verse, I'm gonna stop here. But in Ecclesiastes 11th chapter, he says, "In the morning, sow thy seed." But what? In the morning, sow thy seed. Hold on just a second. 12th chapter, 6th verse. "But in the evening, withhold not thine hand." Morning, evening. So in the evening. Don't stop in the evening. In the morning sow thy seed. In the evening withhold not thine hand. Because of what? Thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. You see, when we hit this evening time, the six-finger giant is out 24 hours and he's trying to keep us from doing anything in this third act of life. He's trying to shut us down. He's trying to do everything to silence and make null and void our good reputation, our good name. He's doing everything he can to cause us to make mistakes. I want to encourage you, when you hit this evening time, watch out for the old six-finger giant, but you take the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God and you can overcome him. You can do that. I can do that. We can, folks. We can. Let's make the most of the three acts of life. Let's do it today. That is my burden to you this morning, and I'm going to quit there. And may God help us to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. That is most important for us. Thank you this morning for your time. I went over a little bit, I'm sorry. But Lord, help us today to do our best for God. Amen.